You know, this thing about this Virginia Tech UVA thing that's like keeps weaving itself. Merle and I didn't even go to UVA. Our kids have been to UVA, and so that's why we're big supporters of their football team. So all I had to say at the end of that very sad game was, Jesus wept. I just believe that was. Oh, Lord. All right, enough about that. So in the past few days, we have had a couple of major events. The first of all, obviously, was Thursday, was Thanksgiving, where most of us did our share of eating part, some, hopefully not all, of one of the estimated 50 million pumpkin pies that get eaten at Thanksgiving every year. Ironically, I also heard on the news that 50 million people were going to be traveling on the roads for Thanksgiving. So one pie per car, per person, good proportion. As a side note, just a little fun bit of trivia about Thanksgiving. Did you know that Thanksgiving is the reason why we have TV dinners? I know, right? In 1953, somebody at the Swanson Company mistakenly ordered 260 extra tons of turkey. What do you do with 260 extra tons of turkey? And so apparently a salesman going off of what he saw in the airlines, used to be in the airlines, suggested, why don't you get some aluminum trays that are divided up, stick some of that turkey in a bunch of it and add sides, and voila, we have those unhealthy, no nutrition TV dinners to this day. The second major event that happened in the past few days was Black Friday shopping. I don't know if you're Black Friday shopping. I personally am not, but I love what I read on the internet the other day. Did you know that you can recreate the Black Friday shopping experience at home by simply slamming your body into the wall several times and then going online to purchase some items? You don't even have to leave the comfort of your home. Thanksgiving and the holidays. Many of us, as we go into this holiday season, and next week it actually is the first Sunday in Advent, and many of us hope that our holiday season will look like this. The Norman Rockwell, perfect turkey, everybody's well-dressed, everybody's smiling, table has china on it, not a drop on it. But if we're being honest, and I hope we are, since we're in church, if we're being honest, what a few, some, many of us experience on Thursday might have been more like this. A chaotic dinner gathering where people were not behaving and probably saying things you wish they hadn't have said, and there's tension and boredom, et cetera, et cetera. And instead of being a day of thanks, it was actually a day of angst. It's hard to be in the Thanksgiving spirit and to be thankful in the midst of chaos like this. But honestly, if it's just for that meal and it's just for that day, most of us are kind of able to suck it up, pull up our bootstraps, and make it through one meal, one day. But as believers, what do we do when life looks like this? When our circumstances, our environment, our situation are far from perfect, and it's far from deserving of thanks. Can the words of the great theologian Charlie Brown really be lived out when he said, "What if today we are grateful for everything?" Let's pray. Father, we do give you thanks today, Lord. We have already through worship and prayer, and I just want to say thank you again for who you are, for your goodness, for your faithfulness. And yet, Lord, the reality is a lot of us have been or currently are in situations that it is really hard to be thankful in. So God, would you anoint the words that I speak to minister to each one here, wherever they're at in their ability to give thanks. Holy Spirit, breathe new life on these words that they come alive today in this room, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, today is week number 4, the last week in our share series. So far in the 4 weeks, the first week we talked about sharing your time. The second week we talked about sharing your tithe. Last week we talked about sharing your talents or gifts. And all of these messages are on our website, www.gcch.org. Click on listen and read. Find this sermon series. You can listen or re-listen to any of them. And today, to nobody's surprise, we are going to be talking about sharing our Thanksgiving. However, we're going to look at it from a little bit of a different perspective. And so today, I'm calling this message Thanks-inning. Thanks-inning. Because why, Sue? Because of this one small portion of scripture that we're going to focus on today. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing in everything. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In writing to the young church in Thessalonica, Paul, the book of Thessalonians, kind of focuses on big portions of around two things. The return of Christ when he comes again, his second coming, to reassure the people, to clear up misunderstanding that the church in Thessalonica had. But Paul also writes as a means of giving instruction for holy living. So he's saying, look, Jesus is coming back, and let's clear that up. And in the meantime, here's how we live in a holy way. And it's in the midst of these holy living instructions that Paul kind of gives this rapid fire, bam, bam, bam. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. And I'm like, seriously, Paul? What are you smoking? Like, come back to the real world. You know, maybe rejoice when things are going well, absolutely. And pray when I have the time. And definitely give thanks after I'm on the other side of it and it's all wrapped up in a pretty box and things look great. Absolutely, I can give thanks then, right? Wrong. In everything, give thanks. In everything. Give thanks. And lest you think that Paul just had a brief moment of insanity when he wrote this, no, there are other places in Scripture. Paul says in Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Colossians 1:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. Paul actually wrote about Thanksgiving more than any other New Testament author. He mentions it about 23 times. So how in the world do we give thanks in when life is full of discouragement, disappointment, disasters, brokenness, sickness, hurt? Well, that's what we're going to look at today for the next few minutes. I hope to give you some helpful insights into this whole giving thanks in concept. And then I want to share with you my own very recent journey of getting to practice and walk this out. So, I believe that the first thing that we need to establish right out of the gate, that if you don't remember anything else that I've said today, here's what I want you to remember. Being thankful in all things is not the same as being thankful for all things. Being thankful in all things is not the same as being thankful for all things. There are no examples of biblical heroes thanking God for evil events or demonic activity or awful things. Now, Some of you, if you know scripture to any extent, and this is where my mind went, I was like, well, yeah, Lord, but what about what Paul said? You know, he had this thorn in his flesh. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is talking about, I had this thorn in my flesh. We don't know if the thorn was like a person who was a bother to him, an issue, a health condition. We don't know. And it said he asked God three times to remove it, whatever it was, and God didn't do so. But then Paul did not go on to thank God for the thorn itself. He went on to thank God for the weakness in himself that it exposed so that God could be strong. He said, most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness, that the power of Christ might dwell in me. He did not boast about the thorn. He was not thankful for the thorn. He was thankful in the midst of it and the weakness it exposed so that God could be strong. And Paul isn't telling us in this passage of scripture, in everything give thanks, he's not telling us to deny our circumstances and put our head in the sand. He's not calling us to avoidance behavior. Well, if I just don't even think about it, or I'm just going to act like that's not happening, it'll all go away. That is not what he is calling us to. That would require us to turn off our brains and numb ourselves to reality, neither of which, I believe, is God's heart for us, nor is it God's best for us. The fact is, family, whether we like it or not, not one of us is exempt from some sort of trouble or some sort of suffering. So, when those hard times come, is God asking us to thank him for the fear, to thank him for the anxiety, for the sickness, for the death of a loved one? No. Being thankful in all things is not the same as being thankful for all things. Please hear that. God is calling us to be thankful in. Be thankful in. So let's spend just a few minutes looking at why, how, and what of the giving thanks in. First of all, why? Why give thanks in all things? Well, I could just give you the obvious answer and say, well, it says right here, for this is God's will for you. Kind of like as a parent when you're like, because I said so. No more questions. Period. End. I mean, I could just say that because the scripture says that's God's will for you. Period. End of day. You guys can go home now. And maybe you'd be rejoicing about that. But that's not my answer. On a very practical level, strictly practical, the alternative to not giving thanks in everything is ingratitude, fear, anxiety, and actually backing away from the Lord and not wanting to be in fellowship with him instead of just clinging to him, just like Jackson was up here, instead of clinging. That's the alternative to not giving thanks. And again, none of those responses reflect the heart of God. God's not asking us to deny our circumstances or to be Eeyore-like about them. It's not, oh, bother, you know, this is as good as it gets. This is what I'm stuck with. Poor me. That is not what God is saying. I believe with all my heart that the Lord loves gut-level honesty. I believe he loves it when we come to him and say, this stinks. I hate this. Why did you do this? Where are you? Don't you love me? If you read through the Psalms, often David and the other writers of Psalms are that gut level honest. I mean, David even goes so far as like, kill them, Lord, smite them. I haven't gone that far in my gut level honesty, but there's freedom there. God, you know, God knows your heart anyway. So come before the Lord and be honest. This stinks. I hate this. Why is this happening to me? But don't stay there. But don't stay there. What we can give thanks for is who God is despite the situation. And this gets our focus back on him. We're not denying the circumstance, but we don't want our focus to be there, and lose our focus of the God who is still in the midst of our situation, despite our situation. Why give thanks in everything? Psalm 50, verse 23, God says, "He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me." Or New American Standard says, "But giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me." Our thankfulness honors God. God is glorified when we give thanks, and it is a sacrifice. It is a sacrifice. Why give thanks in everything? Well, again, it says, "For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. To rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in everything is God's will." I love what this one commentator said. He said, "The thought isn't, this is God's will for you, so you must do it. The thought is rather, this is God's will, so you can do it." It's not, this is God's will, so you must do it. It's, this is God's will, so you can do it. Which leads to how. How in the world can I give thanks in everything? Sue, you don't know what I'm going through. How in the world can I give thanks in everything? Well, the bad news is you can't. There is nothing in our human nature that will be excited about or naturally go to giving thanks. But the good news is that God will never ask us to do something that we can't accomplish through him, by him, and because of him. Giving thanks in is a choice. God's not asking us to just turn off our brains and be numb to the circumstance. He wants us to be aware of our circumstances. We're very aware of them, but still to make the choice to give thanks. We don't have to feel thankful before we give thanks. A lot of times our thanks come out of faith. We do not have to feel thankful before we give thanks. We choose to be thankful. We choose to give thanks. Several examples right out of scripture. David in Psalm 34. It's a psalm he wrote when he was running from Saul, ran into the camp of the Philistines. They didn't like him either. Saul didn't like him either. And he had everywhere around him, people were trying to get to him. And in the midst of that, Psalm 34, verse 1, he said, "I will bless the Lord at all times." Not, "I will bless the Lord at all times." I believe there was I will. I'm making a choice to bless the Lord at all times. Job, not the most encouraging book to read when you start out reading, but in verse 1, God calls him blameless, upright, fearing God, turning away from evil. And by the end of the chapter, this man who seems like he's doing everything right, his 7 sons and 3 daughters are killed. All his stuff is taken. And what's his response? He falls to his knees and worships. He chose to continue to worship God even in the midst of having lost literally everything. Paul and Silas, a really familiar story to many of us. They're in prison for preaching the gospel, and in the midst of prison, they are giving thanks. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like I've seen pictures as a kid, or I've envisioned this like, oh, they're sitting, you know, like chained to some prison cell or in a prison cell, and they're, you know, praise the Lord, and, you know, and the whole circumstances are changed. But if you go back a few verses, before we get to this point, they had been beaten with rods. It was not a pleasant worship experience like we had up here. These men had been beaten with rods, but they chose to give thanks and to praise. And lastly, Daniel, in the book of Daniel, he gets news that the king had just signed a decree that anyone who worshiped anybody but the king could be killed. Well, Daniel wasn't going to worship the king. He was a God-fearing man. And what did he do? His response, he continues kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks to God. Those circumstances were not ideal. But by faith, he continued kneeling and giving thanks to God. In all these examples, they chose to give thanks in. How could they do that? How can we do that? Well, I believe the key to being able to do that is by having a deep understanding of God's goodness, of his heart towards you and towards me, even in the midst of hard things. A confidence that God is with me and God is for me. A confidence in the truth of Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things, to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. Our situation and our circumstances might totally stink, but we can be thankful that God will still be true to his nature, even in the midst of it all. I've said this before and other times when I've spoken, but when we can't see the hand of God, we have to be able to trust the heart of God. And in the midst of our hard situations, we can be thankful that we get an opportunity to get a glimpse of his goodness, his power, his presence, his provision, and to hear his voice. When we are in hard circumstances, we are crying, God, where are you? Help me out here. Tell me something. We get opportunities to hear God in the midst of our hard circumstances. Our thankfulness is based on who God is, not on our circumstances. Your thankfulness should be based on who God is, not on your circumstances. Everything that happens to us is not good, but God is good. And we can thank him because he's with us and he's for us despite the circumstances. And lastly, what's the result of giving thanks in everything? If I could have Sarah come up. Sarah's still here. There she is. Sorry, I didn't see. What's the result of giving thanks in everything? Does it always turn out okay in the end? Does it cause us to live happily ever after? Well, no. I can't promise you that your circumstances will change, though they may. They absolutely might. But as I give thanks in everything, what changes is me. And what changes is you. What changes is my ability to trust the Lord despite. To trust the Lord despite. It draws me closer to the Lord. Pastor and author Rick Warren says, being thankful in all circumstances builds a deeper relationship between you and God. Whoever you want to get closer to, start expressing gratitude towards that person. it changes your heart. Now, that holds true for God, and that holds true for one another. You want to get closer to somebody? Start expressing gratitude towards them. You want to get closer to God? Start expressing gratitude towards Him. Because it changes your heart. It changes your heart. In everything is an expression of our trust in His unfailing goodness and unfailing faithfulness. Our thankfulness is based on who God is, not on our circumstances. Circumstances will change day to day, week to week, hour to hour, but God will not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's with us and He's for us. So I said at the beginning of this sermon that I would share with you my very recent journey. See, Merle's not the only one who cries in the pulpit in our family. My very recent journey of getting to apply, live out, and experience the reality of this verse, giving thanks in everything. And let me just say, I have not done this perfectly. And I'm still learning. Some of you know the story, and probably most of you don't. Almost a year ago, at this time in mid-December of last year, during a phone call with our youngest, our daughter Caroline, we have three sons, and then our youngest is our daughter. Towards the end of the conversation, she says, "Hey, I found this lump on my neck. I'm not sure what it is. It's right on my thyroid." She's a nursing major. She's very anatomically aware. Everything going. And Merle and I are like, "Yeah, you know, it's probably nothing, but when you come home for Christmas break in a week, you should probably just have it checked out." Several doctor appointments, one ultrasound, and one biopsy later. In mid-January, the day after she gets back to school from Christmas break, Caroline gets a call from the doctor, the nodule's cancerous. Her diagnosis is papillary thyroid cancer. She then calls us to let us know, and we race down to Charlottesville to be with her. And I wish I could say that because I'm the perfect pastor's wife and the perfect Christian, that my immediate response was, "Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus." But it wasn't. It was far from that, of which I will not give the details here in public. Just keeping it real. As a parent, you never want to hear your child's name and the word cancer used in the same sentence. And as a parent, you never think you will hear your child's name and the word cancer used in the same sentence. But we did. And those first few days after her diagnosis, I was numb, I cried a lot, and I was angry. I was angry at God. Now, Merle got some of my anger, too, just because that was really convenient. He was there. But I was angry. I was not yet giving thanks in this circumstance. But at some point, something began to shift. And I knew it wasn't me.
It was the Holy Spirit working in me.
As we had more doctor appointments and began to prepare for surgery at the end of February of this year to remove her entire thyroid, I found myself able to give a small measure of thanks. And it was thanks at that point for some really practical things. For instance, how small the nodule was and the miracle it was that it was even found. Two of her doctors commented, "How did you find this? It was so small." I was really thankful for our three sons, Caroline's older brothers, and our daughter-in-law, how they immediately rallied around her. You know, as a parent, you hope your kids love each other. And you go through something and you're like, they love each other. They really do love each other. I love my kids so much. I was really thankful for an amazing surgeon. And I was so thankful for Caroline's professors in the nursing school at UVA who were beyond gracious with the extra time that she had to miss. She basically came home a week before spring break to have her surgery and then recovered for another week from her surgery. And these teachers were just like, don't worry about your final project. Like, don't even worry about it. And then while she was home recovering, the nursing school sent her like a real card with real signatures and words of encouragement on it. That just really blessed me. I was really thankful. But more than that, by God's grace, I was eventually able to give thanks for who God was and is in the midst of a cruddy circumstance. Some days were harder to do this than others, but it did begin to occur. Did it change Caroline's diagnosis? Nope. Did we get the miracle we prayed for? Nope. Did it eliminate my moments of fear or worry? Not every single one, no. But it kept me clinging to the Lord, focusing on Him, and allowed me to experience a flavor, if you will, a side of His grace and His nearness and His goodness that I had not experienced up to that point in my life. So we're now 9 months out from Caroline's surgery, and she's doing really, really, really well. And her prognosis for the future looks great. I could not be more proud of my little girl. In all honesty, Caroline Schenck is my hero. And I want to be like her if and when I grow up. The way she walked through this. Was amazing. I'm so proud of her. I still think back on this chapter in our lives, in Caroline's life, and that is what I believe it is. It's just a chapter. It is not her whole life. It is a chapter in the testimony of her whole life. And yeah, I still question God about it. And I still cry over it. Example. But now I can honestly say that I can thank the Lord for who He has been to us in the midst of it all. Do I believe that God caused my daughter to get cancer? No, not for a nanosecond. But I do believe that even in the midst of it, and still, He is good. He's with Caroline, and He's for Caroline. And He's with Merle and I, and He's for Merle and I.
Could I have the ministry team come up? Church, hard times are inevitable. Whether it's a cancer diagnosis, a broken relationship, financial stress, death of a loved one, if you are breathing at the sound of my voice, and most of you look like you are, these times are going to happen simply because you're alive and you're doing this thing called life. But in the midst, we can be thankful. Not thankful for the diagnosis or the death or the loss of a job, etc., but thankful for the fact that God is with us and God is for us. That God is with you and God is for you. I'll end with this quote from a pastor I saw. He said, "To give thanks in everything is a bold act of victorious, overcoming faith that recognizes that all is not as it should be, but that God is still on the throne and able to bring about good through what seems bad." God is still on the throne of Caroline's life, of mine and Merle's life, of your life. Why don't you stand? This morning, as I introduce an invitation for ministry, I just want to do three brief invitations. First of all, perhaps you find yourself in a situation right now that stinks. It just stinks. And giving thanks for you is about the last thing you feel like you can do. You feel like God is not on the throne. And believe me, I get it. I had many moments like, where are you, God? Seriously? This is what we get for serving you? If that's you, I invite you to come up and simply let one of our ministry team members pray with you. You don't have to go into all the details of your situation if you don't want to, but let them stand alongside of you with a victorious and overcoming faith on your behalf to help fine-tune your focus in the Lord in the midst of your circumstance. Secondly, perhaps you're here today and you don't even have a personal relationship yet with this God who is with you and is for you. You've not yet surrendered your life to God or made him Lord of your life. And if that's you, I believe with all my heart that the Lord wants you to know that even now, he's with you and he is for you. And like any loving earthly father would be with his kids, your heavenly father cannot wait to be in relationship with you and spend time with you. So if you want to begin this relationship with Jesus today, to make him Lord of your life, come up and let one of these ministry team members pray with you, pray a prayer of salvation, give you a booklet to get you started on your journey with the Lord. And lastly, if there's any area of your life that you would like prayer for, whether it relates to what we talked about this morning or not, come and receive prayer. I'm going to pray, and then I'll dismiss you to go home, or I'll dismiss you to come receive prayer. Let's pray. Father, your word says, "I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you." You're with us, God, even in the midst of our hard things, you're with us. The psalmist says in Psalm 56, "This I know, that God is for me." You are for us, even in the midst of our situations. And so for that, God, I give you thanks. I give you thanks that you're with me and you're for me. I give you thanks that though my circumstances might change, you don't change. I give you thanks that you are good though the circumstances stink. It doesn't change you. So Lord, if there's anybody here in a situation where giving thanks in the midst seems like an impossibility, would you just stir up a measure of faith? A measure of faith, God. Would you come rushing to their side as they draw near to you and call out to you? We do say, God, when we don't see your hand, we're going to trust your heart. And we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed to go home to have lunch. You're also dismissed to come and get prayer. Have a great week. Go and be thankful.